Hey everyone, welcome to Seen That, the podcast where we talk about cult and classic movies we haven't seen until now. For our sixth and final installment of our summer series, we're discussing Dazed and Confused and why Haley...
All right.
Yes, I was hoping you would
yes.
do that.
I had to.
Hasn't seen that and much more. Hope you all enjoy. As we mentioned last episode, I think. Yes, because last episode was Dirty Dancing. In our Friday the 13th episode, so 2 ones ago, we mentioned how it was filmed and took place in northern New Jersey.
Mm.
And that we were both going to be there seeing each other for the first time in over a year and a half, really.
Yes.
And that day finally came last week, and it was amazing.
Yes.
It was so good to see you in
person, in the flesh. Was like running through the house.
Yes.
I literally ran outside and was jumping for joy, waiting to get a hug from mm-hmm. Avril as Avril was hugging one of our other friends. And I was just like so excited I couldn't contain myself. So it was so nice to see you in person, and like it was just a blast.
So good. I think in ways we've talked about before, like this podcast has obviously elevated our friendship,
mm-hmm.
but also has made us feel that, like, I haven't seen you in a very long time, but
I
feel like I've seen you because we talk constantly.
Yeah.
And that's been so great. But it was like still amazing to see, but it was almost as if, like, you know, I felt like I had seen you even though I hadn't.
I know. It was almost as if no time had passed, but also like, we've
right.
spent many hours on the phone this year, probably more than any other
yes.
year. So, you know.
Well, like before the pandemic, it was like you and I could talk for a very long
That's
time.
True.
We had. But like the pandemic proved that we could go like hours more.
Oh, yeah. What I thought, I was like, oh, we could always get together and talk for like a good 2 hours. And like that'll be, you know, like over the phone. And yeah, this just proved that we have no shortage of things to talk about and could go on
no.
and on if we didn't want to set a time limit on this, which obviously would be insane, but yeah.
Right. I think it'd be pretty funny if this episode was like 3+
hours. Oh my God. I don't know if I have 3+ hours worth of content about this movie to say.
I don't think I do.
But there definitely have been other films that I could have gone on and on about for sure.
I am surprised. Well, okay. We did kind of talk for 3 hours with my godfather about The Godfather Part 2.
Yes. I mean, that was also
basically
a long
the
movie.
Length of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And we tried to cut a lot out of that for you guys too. So
yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, speaking of dear friends, not only did I get to see you for the first time in a while, but I got to see a lot of our mutual friends from high school.
Yeah.
That I really, really missed as well. And, you know, speaking of high school, it's been almost 10 years for
oh,
us since
God.
We graduated, which is crazy.
I know. This watching this brought me back a little bit to those
yeah.
days.
We might talk about it, but that leads me to this movie, which is Dazed and Confused. It came out in 1993.
Wow.
It was directed and written by Richard Linklater. It was produced by him as well, plus Sean Daniel and James Jax. And it stars, now, there's like 30+ people
mm-hmm.
in this movie, just like Wet Hot American Summer. So basically, I picked like the first 10 or so names from the Wikipedia page. Apologies if I've missed some big people, but there's so many. Jason London, Wiley Wiggins, Sasha Jensen, Michelle Burke, Christine Hamos, Rory Cochrane, Ben Affleck, Adam Goldberg, Anthony Rapp, Matthew McConaughey, all right,
mm-hmm.
Sean Andrews, Mila Jovovich.
She's like a model, right? I feel like Mila Jovovich. Maybe
Jovovich, Mila Jovovich. Thank
yeah.
you, Cole Hauser, Parker Posey, woo, and literally so many other people. Again, apologies if I missed them.
Yeah,
but there's a lot in here. There, people say that like Jason London is the main star, and I would agree with that. But like, there are so many other people that get a decent amount of screen time that it's really kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
Moving on. It had a budget of $6.9 million, and it made $8 million. So okay. It kind of broke even. But I would say, and we might talk about it later, this definitely became more of a cult classic later on. And I would say probably DVD sales like helped
probably
gain more money. And a quick summary. This is a coming-of-age comedy film following the antics and adventures of teenagers in Austin, Texas on the last day of school in 1976.
Oh, I was wondering, like, where it took place. I just couldn't quite pinpoint, like, the...
That's, I think a good point, because I don't think the movie makes it clear that it's in Austin, Texas.
It doesn't.
Like, ever. I'm, like, trying to, like, think right now about any, like, one scene or frame that, like, maybe could point. And I think unless you're from Austin or from Texas, maybe, like, the top notch... You know, or the Emporium would be like go to like, oh yeah, that's like an Austin place.
Maybe.
But other than that, I don't really know how you would know it's in Austin.
It seemed like maybe it would have been like an Austin suburb or like an Everytown America suburb kind of.
Right.
Yeah, like I couldn't tell if it was at the South, the Midwest, like the East Coast, that, you know, I don't know. It was kind of like ambiguous, which probably like lended itself to have more people like identify with it a little bit.
I think you're right. Also, Richard Linklater has like that's like part of his shtick is like he makes a lot of films about Texas or like they take place in Texas. So that sort of gave me an inkling that it could be. But I agree. It's like not super obvious. Mm. And you can watch this on Amazon Prime, YouTube, Vudu, Apple TV, etc. So, since this film has so many actors, some of whom went on to have huge careers, like Matthew McConaughey, and some that you're a fan of, plus the fact that it's similar to Wet Hot American Summer, which we did talk about in our first installment, why, Haley, hadn't you seen that?
I am trying to remember when the first time I even heard about Dazed and Confused. It sort of just like went under the radar for me. A lot of other films that we've talked about and that I hadn't seen before, you know, on the podcast, I'd heard of them or whatever. This one kind of like, I feel like I had just heard the name floating about and I just never knew what it was about. And I like it kind of just, went unnoticed. And I think up until like also kind of recently, I like people were telling me like, oh, Matthew McConaughey is like in Dazed and Confused. I think it was probably when I was like working at a company that like featured him in a lot of their commercials. So I feel like that was when people were like, oh, you work with, you know, MM as we would call him, you know, Dazed and Confused, right? And I was like, kind of like, I don't know. And then they'd be like, all right. I'm like, I didn't know that was like where he came up with that. So yeah, I hadn't ever heard, or I guess I had heard of it, but just knew nothing about it. And then like, then had only heard like, oh, Matthew McConaughey's in it. And I didn't even know that Ben Affleck was in it. Like for everyone telling me that like, oh, Matthew McConaughey's in it. No one was saying like, oh, Ben Affleck's in it, but I don't know. Maybe Ben Affleck doesn't come up in a lot of my conversations, but, so yeah, I think
it's 'cause you're not from Boston.
Oh yeah. That's yeah. But yeah. Does he come up in a lot of your conversations? 'Cause you're from Boston or like your family's from Boston.
I'm just giving you shit. I think only because we like a lot of the Boston films that he's been in, like Good Will Hunting, The Town. I feel like there's another one that I'm blanking on.
I mean, there's so many.
That's really why.
Yeah. So I had, this movie was kind of a complete new thing for me. And so I guess I just was never really drawn to see it because the only thing that people would say about it was that Matthew McConaughey was in it. And I've seen many other great things that Matthew McConaughey has been in, but like that was the only reason people were giving me to see this. So that's kind of maybe why it like was never at the top of my list.
I had a hard time, honestly, trying to figure out like how I could frame that question because the more I thought about it, I'm like, this movie is pretty, you know, it's not really talked about that much.
Yeah.
And I feel like Matthew McConaughey's performance has sort of overshadowed the movie.
Definitely.
So I am not surprised at all that you hadn't really heard of it until, like, you know, recently. And definitely not surprised that, like, hadn't sought it out, because I had only found out about it, like, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So I think this is truly a cult classic, and, like, probably one of the few movies that we've covered that is definitely not as popular. It's definitely on, like, the lower end of, like, well-known movies of the last, you know, 50 plus years.
Yeah, or people, like, know of it, but I feel like I wouldn't be surprised to hear that a lot of people actually wouldn't have seen this.
Right, exactly. And the fact that it, you know, not that we need to go off of, like, the budget meaning more than it does, but I don't think this was, like, an immediate success when it came out either. Again, think, like, over time, it garnered more and more popularity. I think especially because Matthew McConaughey, because to me, him and maybe Parker Posey and maybe...
Which one's Parker Posey again?
She plays the really nasty senior who's like, all right, freshman, air raid.
Oh, yes. Okay. Wait, yeah. She was on, like, a few episodes of...
Fry Like Bacon.
Parks and Rec. Yes. Okay. She's been in a lot of stuff.
And she's a part of, like, the Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, like the Christopher Guest, like that whole like ensemble, like comedy ensemble troupe. I'm a huge fan of Parker Posey. I love her. So I feel like this movie sort of became popular much later on.
Yeah.
And like was not really as well known when it first came out, or it kind of flew under the radar. So did you know the All Right, All Right, All Right before seeing this movie? And did you know of it and had no idea that it was from this film?
Yes, I had an idea. Like, I had heard that many a time, and then I had heard it, you know, obviously just associated with Matthew McConaughey. But I feel like it was even a while after I'd heard just that phrase. It was a while before I even found out that it was like from a movie. I don't know why. I kind of thought he like maybe said it at like an award show or something. And he did. And like, it was a callback to this, but like, I just thought, I was like, oh, he's so weird.
I think you're right. I think he definitely like mentioned it at like some award show or some like interview.
I could have sworn. I was like, he probably like was accepting something. And like, I mean, that's definitely happened where he's been like, oh, all right, thank you. And
yeah.
I didn't.
It's a pretty good Matthew McConaughey impression.
Thank you. I had heard him speak in a lot of commercials. Gone through a lot of VO takes with him. So that was interesting. Fun fact, I have shaken his hand, but I wouldn't say that I've met him, because like he was kind of just like, we were shooting this commercial and like he was like thanking everyone on like the agency crew, and like he just shook my hand, but like I wouldn't say that like, oh, I like met him separately. So, but I've shaken his hand, so that's cool.
Definitely
cool. Yeah, so all of the All Right, All Right stuff was fully wrapped up in like the Matthew McConaughey mysticalness, and it was a while before I associated it with like even a film of his.
That makes sense. And I think I had the same kind of experience of like, I kept hearing this All Right, All Right, All Right. Sorry, I'm not doing that justice. All Right, All Right, All Right.
Yeah.
And not knowing it came from a movie, just associating it with him as a person. Mm-hmm. Not even like, this is like his character. It's like, oh, that's Matthew McConaughey. That's like his thing.
He's so that way though. Like,
yes,
just,
I agree.
Not that I feel like I'm blowing smoke up my own ass when I'm saying these things, but I'm trying not to be, to sound braggy, but basically, cause it was one commercial that I was there for when he was at. So let's just be okay. So on set, you know, everyone has headphones and everyone is like has headphones and like walkies, so you know you can hear what's being said on the set by like, you know, whatever cast is in the commercial or whatever it is, and then you know you turn them on and off. But basically, like, the cast as mic'd the whole time. So like when the director would yell cut, like he would go on these like rambling stories just about like the weirdest things. And everyone would be like, he knows you can all hear this, right? Like it was just like, like things about like his mom and like Las Vegas, like just like, I don't even remember details, but like, I just remember snippets of like weird, like things that he would put together and it would be a story and we'd all be like, wait, what? So, I mean, it was definitely not. And then he would do this like weird whistling thing and humming thing. Like it's totally not out of character for him to like, maybe he definitely said that like on set in on the Dazed and Confused set. And then they were like, keep that in. Like, that's so funny. Like no one could have written that for him. I think like, I'd be surprised.
That's a really good point to make because in the little research I did, AKA reading the Wikipedia page, a lot of his lines were ad-libbed or just thought of on the spot.
I mean, yeah, like he's so like his performance or the things he says are so almost removed from the movie. Like they're, that's probably why they stand out, because a lot of, I guess we'll get into it, but a lot of the dialogue is so like cookie cutter almost and casual, but none of it felt like raw or ad lib. Like he clearly, him and like Ben were clearly like some of the more seasoned actors on this, even if they hadn't, you know, we didn't know this yet, but clearly their talent like shone through more than a lot of the other cast, I will say.
I would agree with that. And I actually, I don't know how seasoned of an actor Matthew McConaughey was.
Yeah.
I think this was his first like major film role. And it was like a side part, basically. He like got the job because he talked to the casting director at a bar in Austin because he was a film student at University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah, he loves Texas.
So it was
Texas.
Like very kind of serendipitous. This is like another conversation for another time, but like Texan pride is like another level.
Yeah, like people think we have pride. Jersey pride, but no.
Texan pride is like, I almost am a little jealous because it's just like, wow, like people from Texas love that they're from Texas.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a big state. There's a lot of people.
It's huge.
But yeah, I mean, you got to have pride in your state. I mean, I'm not like, I get it.
It's like that. I'm not like, I'm Texan first. And then I'm,
I mean,
American.
That's a little bit like where New Jerseyans sort of are like, meh, like most, I would say.
But like that's kind of the like impression I've got. It's like I care more about being from Texas than I do from like being from America.
Yeah.
Or being from like, you know, whatever. Like that's more important than any other sort of like geographical location.
Yeah, that is definitely like a mentality with a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
But speaking of like, sorry, we'll get to questions, but I just want to say while we're on like the Texas thing, you could clearly hear that he was from Texas and that no one else was, which is also why I was confused. I was like, why does he have this? I wrote like, why does he have a Southern accent and no one else does? So I thought that was funny.
That's such a good point. No, that's such a good point because I think to what we were just talking about, like when Ben Affleck's character O'Bannon, I think his name is, like, is really like just being a cruel
he's
asshole.
The worst.
Like, he's truly kind of, he's like the villain, I think, of this movie.
Yeah.
He kind of gets lost in the scene and like you could hear the Boston accent almost. You can hear him like just going for it. And it's like, you're not from Texas, dude. And like, I don't really care. I'm not like an accent expert, but yeah, it was like, that was a very clear sort of indication of like, yeah, they're not trying to make everybody sound like they're from Austin or from Texas.
Yeah. The direction on this was pretty loose, it seemed.
But then there were times where you could tell like the actors were trying to sound Southern or like have a little bit of a drawl.
Really?
And then they would just get totally wiped away in like the next scene because they're like yelling at a freshman or they're like trying to run away from the cops.
That's so crazy.
So yeah, it was very much in and out with some people, but Matthew McConaughey, tried and true, that never faltered. I also feel like that's how he talked.
He fully just sounds like that. Like,
Yeah,
that was his voice. He wasn't putting on any airs.
Right.
The only thing that I was like surprised by with him was his hair. I was like, is that a wig? It's so ugly.
So, okay, that's another thing. And maybe I did more research than I am giving myself credit for. But apparently Richard Linklater did not think he was ugly enough. He's like, Matthew McConaughey's too attractive to like play this role.
Oh my God.
So I think part of his outfit, hair and makeup included, was like, we got to make him look a little bit less pretty.
That is so like, funny.
Matthew McConaughey's a very
handsome
person.
Yeah.
He's very handsome. So yeah, the hair, the stash, even though I have to say, I feel like that look could easily be something you see out on the streets today.
Maybe like, the stash, like the mustache, but the hair, I don't know. And the way that it was parted, I was like, ooh. Well, they did a good job because I was like, wow, that hair is not doing him any favors. So good job, whoever was in wardrobe or like hair and makeup on that.
I agree. Yeah, the hair left a lot to be desired, but he's still really hot.
Yeah.
And he looked great in that outfit, even though it was a weird outfit, I thought.
I wasn't even paying attention to the outfit, but yeah.
You just got lost.
I got lost in the voice.
There's like one scene where he's talking to, I forget her name, but they're at the gas station or they're at like the place where they're getting food, the like top notch, I think.
Yeah. The redhead, and he, like, Cynthia.
Yeah. Cynthia. Yeah. Thank you. And I can't say I love this movie and I don't even know like the character's names, but he's like clearly flirting with Cynthia. And she says something like, oh, yeah. He's like, do you have a ride? And she's like, yeah, I've got a ride. Like, I'm in my car. I'm in the driver's seat. Like, I'm good. He's like, that's a shame. Like, just like the way he's talking is just so funny. And I won't do it justice. I'm sorry. I'm butchering.
No, I know. But he's just like, he's always like, cool. All right. And then you're like, yeah. Why did you even need to add that?
Yeah. When he asks Mitch, like, basically, like, are you high? Or like, are you like, do you get high? And Mitch replies, no. He's like, well, it'll be a lot cooler if you know.
That was a good line too.
Just yeah, his like cadence, his intonation, like he really nails it. And I get why this like propelled him basically into stardom.
Yeah. I also think too, well, like maybe it's just us being from the East Coast and especially like in the Northeast, yeah, where like clearly you guys can hear this, but like we're really fast talkers up here. And so when someone is so slow in an intentional way, like when he's speaking, right, he has a clear intention. It's not just drolling on, but he's slowing down and it makes you want to like lean in and be like, what is this dude saying? And of course he has like a perfect, right, tan. So you're like, what is this guy?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He was really tan.
Yeah. Like way too
tan. I feel like he's also just like tan in general.
Yeah, he's pretty tan, but yeah, the fact that he was like hanging out with these kids, I was like, he's so out of place here.
Well, that's something we can either talk about, yes, now, let's, or talk about later.
I'm free to dive in to all the questions, all the other questions.
Well, right before we dive in, I feel like you sort of answered the fact that like you didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, awareness of this film besides what we've mentioned before. So I'm curious, now that you have seen it, what do you think?
I don't think I liked it as much as I thought I was going to. There were parts, like, and there were things that I thought were funny. Like, and I love analyzing, like, the details of Matthew McConaughey's character in this.
Clearly, as we just spent 20 minutes talking about it.
But I don't know if I would ever, like, choose to watch this, like, alone again. It was just a weird thing to like almost watch alone. I don't know. This might have been different like with a few other people. It was just one of those movies where like there is a lot happening but also like nothing's really going on, and I wasn't super invested in a lot of the characters and like their motives for things. Like I was kind of like, I don't know, but I want to like, I'm excited to talk about it though. And I didn't dislike it. I just thought it was, to be no pun intended, I thought it was all right.
That's a good one, yeah, though.
But I think like if a group of people or if someone, like if we were hanging out and we were like, LOL, like let's put this on, I feel like it would have been more fun. It may sound weird, but like to talk through this movie as it was happening, because as I'm sitting there, I'm like taking it maybe a little too seriously. And I'm like, I don't know, this is like kind of a ridiculous movie.
I agree on some of that. I think it is a type of movie where you can kind of put it on and you don't have to be like 100% zoned in focus.
Yeah.
Even if it's your first time watching it. And I think it, because it's an ensemble movie, it's sort of, to me, invokes then you would want to watch it with lots of people as well. Or like a group of people, because it's a movie about a group of people.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think it's more enjoyable when you watch it with others. Because you can kind of like talk about the jokes or talk about what's going on. And not every single line or frame is like super important, mm-hmm. in my opinion, in this movie.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay. I don't doubt that like all of those shots, lines, whatever, had purpose. But I think for this movie, it's like, it truly kind of is just like a day in the life of these kids. And so some things are really mundane and some things are like really exciting and funny or ridiculous or scary. So I agree. It doesn't necessarily, I think it would be more enjoyable watching it with other people. So I understand that.
Yeah. But I could see now thinking about it, having watched it, it kind of does have, I could see where this maybe kicked off some sort of a kind of genre that led to movies like Superbad or things like that, where it's about like last day of school, but like also like who are you going to be next year kind of thing. And like there's so many of those kinds of movies now, or like have been over the last like, you know, 25 years. So I think that this, if not like the first, it was probably one of the first like major ones to kind of have that vibe. And it may have been a little bit, you know, loose and whatever, but I definitely got weirdly, like I definitely got Superbad vibes a little bit.
That's a good point too. I think now that you've mentioned that, I can definitely pick up on some, on the same sort of vibes there as well. I am no expert on Richard Linklater, but I've seen some of his other movies. And besides the like Texan theme, a lot of his films are like talky films. Like you walk and talk. It's a lot of like these two people or whatever, this amount of people in this scene are just going to do a thing and they're going to talk sort of all the way through.
What are some of his other main movies? Because I don't remember off the top of my head.
So he did Boyhood, which I haven't seen.
Oh man,
I haven't seen that either.
I've been really meaning to watch that.
And that takes place in Houston, and that's, you know, that was filmed every like what, 7 years or something for like 20 years or so. I really want to watch that movie. So I, from what I've gathered, I hear that is I think maybe not like this where it's a lot of just like talking and some action. I think there's probably more drama and whatnot in that movie.
Yeah.
But other films like the Sunset series. He's made three movies or a trilogy with Ethan Hawke.
Is that the one where there's like someone in Vienna?
Yeah. So Before Sunrise.
Yes. I need to watch Vienna, those.
And I'm blanking on the female actress.
I know, but I know exactly which movies you're talking about. I just haven't seen any of them.
It's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight.
Mm.
And, Julie Deppley. He's made those films, and those are very much just, like, these two people talking basically the whole time, and, like, other things happen sort of in between their conversations. He's made Everybody Wants Some, which is sort of this, like, spiritual, as he said, spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, and that's, like, a baseball team at some university in Texas in the 80s.
Oh, weird.
And it's like a day in the life, or like a day, like a week in the life of all of these guys. So that is sort of a staple of his, I'd say. But I agree. I think this sort of did kick off or inspired films like Superbad, like, oh gosh, what are some other ones?
It's weird that I'm like, there were so many and I can only think of like that one.
Sleepover. Just kidding.
Oh my god. Yeah, there's got to be others, but basically just the like end of school. I mean, kind of Well, I guess Breakfast Club came before. So you could argue, okay, like Breakfast Club and then like this kind of...
Interesting you say Breakfast Club, because I also read that this movie was meant to be... I'm sorry if I'm just like stomping on all of your points.
No, no. I don't know where I was going with Breakfast Club. So please finish.
That it was meant to... This movie was meant to be sort of a inverse quote there. His words, not mine. An inverse of like a John Hughes movie.
Okay.
So like his example was, you know, in, and these are all like general examples. I don't think specific to one film, but in a film like Breakfast Club, it's like the stress of school, the pressure of, you know, family, you know, like there's all this drama happening.
Yeah.
And like things are really stressful. And like, I think that's true when you're a teenager, like you're feeling a lot of things and you feel like, you know, there's so much on you, you know, pressure wise. But his whole point was that like, actually being a teenager is not as stressful as like movies like that make it seem. And I think for him, it's very much like, you know, when I was a teenager, it was just a lot of driving around and trying to find things to do. And like getting tickets to an Aerosmith concert was like a big fucking deal. And like that was major action. That was like, you know, okay, we got to like figure out how to get these, not, you know, I need to figure out who I am in Saturday detention.
Yeah. I will say like that part of the movie, I definitely identified with a little bit, like, I guess like the idea of like, okay, like it's the last day of school. Someone's having a party. Everyone knows about the party. Oh wait, like it gets busted. And then like everyone's kind of driving around figuring out what to do. Like, I feel like we've definitely kind of had nights like that.
Yes.
Even if we weren't, because our town was small, even if we weren't driving around necessarily, we were like waiting around, walking around town being like, where's the next stop? Like,
yes.
So that I was like, oh yeah. I guess just to like contrast that, a part that I like didn't vibe so well with was just like, there's so much hazing in this film.
I know.
I literally was like, one, I was just like, it's so ridiculous. And I'm like, I'm really glad. And also, I don't think anyone really in our school honestly like did shit like that. So I couldn't really identify with like even wanting to like do that.
No.
So I was thankful for that, but I was like, my God, like, this is, like, mean.
I do recall some, like, very much encouraged things as freshmen that we were told to do on a certain sports team.
Yes. I feel like the sports teams in our school definitely had more hazing, but, like, overall, like, grade changeovers, it wasn't, like...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, like, oh, freshman, because everyone was, like... Yeah, that's just like every year this happens. I don't know. Like,
right. Well, also we, to our listeners, we were in a building that literally housed 7th through 12th graders.
Yes.
So even though we had a school system that was a high school of 9th through 12th, even though you were a freshman, you didn't really feel like a freshman in some ways because there was always two grades younger than you in the same building as you.
That's also true.
So like being a seventh grader, I thought was like way more terrifying than being a ninth grader.
That's true. Cause if you think about it, then it's not kids like four or, you know, 3.5 to 4 years older than you. It's kids like 5, 6 years
older.
And so like 12th grade is way different than seventh grade. So
yeah,
if we were to pick on the seventh graders, that would just be like even more cruel. Like, why would you do that?
If I may, this wasn't mean, but it scared the shit out of me. I was in line to like get something at the cafeteria. I was in seventh grade and I dropped my wallet, which as a seventh grader, I had like nothing in it. Right?
I had like $5 a library card. Lunch money.
Yeah. I had like some quarters, a library card and like my school ID, but I dropped it and I didn't realize I dropped it. And I walked away after like getting whatever I got. And all of a sudden I hear very loudly someone shouting, "Hey, seventh grader, you dropped your shit."
Oh my God.
And I turned around and just saw it on the ground and like in the distance saw like some older teenage female, like, who had clearly, like, was looking at me and, like, had clearly said it. And it just, like, I was so embarrassed. And, like, that's not hazing at all. It was just,
I know,
like,
she was actually being very helpful, but, like, yeah. But, yeah, like, the way that she said it clearly was intimidating.
Oh, so intimidating. And, like, we were so short as seventh graders that it was just, like, looking up at these tall-ass seniors was, like, so intimidating.
Yeah,
as well.
I remember, like, every year I'd be like, were we that small? Like, I was like, I don't think I grew that much. And I was like, were we really that small? So just thinking back to those times, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I also thought about, like, the vibe of the last day of school, how it's just so, like, no one's doing anything. And, like, the minute you're free, like, there's always papers everywhere. I'm like, why doesn't everyone throw this stuff out? Like, why are there always paper? Like, it's so funny. But, though, the idea that, like, older guys would, like, go to the middle school and, like, say that they were, like, going to beat people up, like, would totally not fly.
Oh my gosh. Also, like, never would be okay.
I just feel like loud. I would hope at least, like, it just seemed like even the people we went to school with just didn't care enough to do that. Like, you'd be so weird if you did that. That would be ridiculous. Exactly.
I was tempted to text my mom and her brother, who my mom was a senior in 76.
Oh, wow.
So, like, and I don't know if your dad was also a senior in 76.
Are they the same age? Then maybe.
I think they might be. So, like, I was thinking of asking her and her brother about, like, their experiences growing up during this time. And if, like, they experienced any hazing. And if it was, like, really this kind of, like, sadistic. And then I was just like, I don't know how to phrase that question to them. So I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah. I mean,
But I feel like this is just, like, it's meant to be, like, ridiculous because it's a movie. And I feel like this didn't happen. I hope it didn't happen. Because, like, that is really, like, awful and, like, weird.
Yeah, I don't know, though. But, like, it must be based in some truth. I feel like it happened a little bit, but, like,
I guess I'm thinking mainly of the, like, paddling. I feel like that just seems like
a lot. I don't know. And, like, were people ever actually, like, in lockers ever? Like, were people big enough to fit in the locker? Like, I don't know.
I don't either. But I agree. The hazing is, like, pretty severe. And I laughed at it because I know how, like, ridiculous that is and, like, how that would never fly today.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's also, like, this is fucked up that if this is based off of some, like, experience that either the director had or maybe someone else in the film had.
Oh, like, yeah.
Wow. That's messed up.
Well, I guess, like, another thought for me was, like, yes, I knew it was bad. And, like, there were some things that I was laughing at because it was so ridiculous. But I was also just, like, I think part of the reason why, again, I had such a hard time identifying with, like, some of the characters or even just, like, wanting to, like, watch how the rest of the movie went was because I was, like, this is how they're, like, spending their time. Like, it was, like, why do I, like, care that Ben Affleck is, like, waiting for this kid after his baseball game? Like, that's so, such a weird way to, I was like, ugh, like, I wouldn't want to, like, be around any of you. So that was weird. And then, I don't know. But I guess, like, again, I understood the vibe of, like, okay, like, we're all going to try to figure out where the, like, next party is and, like, you know, see who's coming. Like, and then also the idea that, like, you'd meet up at so-and-so's house or, like, you had something to do after school. Then you'd go home and change and then, like, go out with these people. Then you're in a different car with these people. Mm-hmm. Like, that I understood, too, of, like, okay, we're, like, moving locations and, like, these people go here and, like, now we're going to go over here. Like, yeah.
And I kind of miss that. I definitely got a twinge of nostalgia watching this movie.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I was thinking about our own, like, senior day or, like, whatever, move-up day, we called it in our school. And, like, just the orchestration of, like, yeah, where do we go to next? Whose house are we going to get ready at?
I know. Like, where do we, like, spray paint our cars? Like, you know?
Yeah. Like, I kind of missed all of that planning and, like, excitement and, like, you know, it was stake-wise, it means nothing, but it was really fun for us and, like, something to look forward to. And, like, in our school system, or in our town, rather, that is a big day. You're a senior now. Yeah. You got to like be as obnoxious and as flagrant and as
you could ride around crazy. Town with like cans on the back of your car, like scream, like you wanted everyone to know that you were the new seniors. And then like, but no one was like going to be anybody up after that. So
no, at least I hope not. No. I do have to say, I did like the change though, after you see to like a Mitch and I think Sabrina get hazed, that they get taken under the wings of upperclassmen.
Yeah, I did like and that too. I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was sort of a nice twist because it's like, we don't want to just watch these people get like chased around all movie avoiding more hazing. Like, that's not really fun. And so I'm glad that wasn't like their only plot line.
Yeah, I'm glad it like evolved and that Mitch is like the guy who's Jody's younger brother, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad that like his story, like he kind of made his, like I actually was surprised when he and his friends like got back Ben Affleck. I thought that was really funny. But like, yeah, there were so many times I do feel like the guy who played Mitch like was not the best actor. Like there were times, there was one time when like I think his sister, like they're outside whatever like arcade or something, and his sister like comes by and says something, and he like puts his hand on his like head like three times and like smiles, and I'm like, oh my god, like I could tell that that's not acting. Like it was so like he's trying to act embarrassed, but like that's the only way he like knows how to act embarrassed. It was like acting I was like, this is cringy to watch.
I agree. I picked up on that too, and I was like, oh, he's really trying to act like embarrassed and sheepish around his sister, but it's just very obvious he doesn't know what else to do with his
hands. I feel like he was like smirking the whole movie, and I was like, okay, sometimes it works, but then I was like, other times he like clearly doesn't know what to do with his face.
Right. In his defense though, I was thinking about it when I was his age, and I'm like, I definitely like was constantly touching my hair and like my face, and so in a way I'm kind of like, that probably is a more natural like inclination as a teenager to like, if you're feeling self-conscious, to sort of like cover your body or like cover your face because you feel somewhat embarrassed. But yeah, that was not an Oscar worthy scene by any stretch.
No. I don't know. Like I keep flip-flopping. Like another thing with Mitch though, that I did identify with too, was like when, you know, the older guys have taken him in kind of, and he's in the car. I didn't identify with their like need to like smash mailboxes with trash cans, but I guess everyone's bored. Okay. But I did appreciate, there's like a couple scenes in the car where like Mitch is kind of like the older guys are laughing at something, maybe like an inside joke. And he like kind of is laughing along, but like figuring out like, oh, I can laugh along at this. This is a thing that is like known to be funny. I was like, oh yeah. Like when you're in like an older crowd, or when you find yourself in a crowd of like cool kids or whatever, and you're like, oh my God, what do I do? How do I act cool? Like you're like just looking at their cues, and then you're like, oh, okay, they're laughing at this joke. Like, okay. But then he like stops smiling because he like doesn't really know what the joke means. Like I just was like, oh, that's a spot on moment.
Right. Well, and like, yeah, something like that made me think about how when I was a freshman, we were freshmen in high school, my sister was a senior. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of felt this like, it was constant, but it wasn't always obvious, but like this like sort of built-in protection.
Mm.
And so like, I sort of had this, you know, guardian angel of sorts, this person that like was always sort of looking out for me. And like, every now and then, it wasn't always, because we were, of course, we're like, you know, fighting all the time and like at each other's throats, metaphorically speaking, not literally. But every now and then, it's like I could hang out with her and her friends, and like I felt cool.
Yeah.
And like tried my hardest to like absorb what they were laughing at, what they were talking about, and like learn from it so that I could feel like a more mature person.
Yeah. I mean, I remember too, because like you were one of the only people in our friend group who had like an older sibling. A lot of our friends had actually siblings 4 years younger, so we were the seniors when they were the freshmen. Right. But like, I just remember even when like your sister had friends over, I'd be like, oh my God. Or like the fact that like your sister's friends like might have known who I was for like a day. I was like, this is crazy. Like,
exactly. It's like the smallest things when you're that age are so important.
I know. Or, it's like, so
make or break.
There was like nothing to worry about. We were worried about everything.
I think that's why I'm like nostalgic for those days, because I'm like, being an adult is hard.
And I know. I like long for the days when I like only was worried about like who I was gonna see like in between classes, like in the hallway, and like when I needed to like look cute or like not.
Right. Seriously, yeah. Like, it is a trade off though. But yeah, I definitely found myself in moments during the film of like wishing I could just for that moment go back in time and kind of just like relive. But
that's
not how it goes.
Yeah. But there is something too special about the like end of school vibe versus like, okay, we're like in school, it's the middle, you know, the slog. Like,
right.
I felt like, you know, the whole like, okay, we're all just gonna party and then figure it out. Like, I don't know. I do miss like that time. I feel like the end of school was always like my favorite because everyone was still around, but like there was like a day or two before like people left on vacations and things like that or went to camp.
Right.
So like it was just like, even when everyone was in school and like it was after finals, but like before the end of school, and we were all just like, we all had a place to like be and like hang out basically for like a couple of days. So I always like loved those few days.
No, I do too. That's another really good point. They were just kind of like automatic. I don't want to say like party days.
They were kind of like fuck it days. They were just like, all right,
exactly.
Like, we're going to give you back your final grade. Like, I don't know. So like no one had to do anything. Of course, I know. I'm like, oh, right. No, we had no responsibility. Like those are the days I love. But yeah, no, it's like, all right, all the hard work was over. We had put in all our work for finals. Like, so the week between or a few days between finals and the last day of school was just like so much fun.
It really was. Like, especially once you finished your exams.
Yeah. You could really like, just like,
that was it.
Yeah. It was like, even like the teachers were like feeling it, and like you could just walk around and like say hi to old teachers that you had and like visit different classes, and like you knew no one was going to learn anything and you could stop in, and it, like, it was just like really fun.
Agreed. Also, speaking of teachers, that history teacher, I think she's a history teacher in this movie. She only really gets one scene, and she's like, all right, everybody, as they're walking out, remember when you're celebrating the bicentennial of America, think about that it's actually, and just like lays on all of these truths. And I'm just like, wow, this history teacher knows what's up.
But I love that like she's saying this as they walk out the door. I'm like, you weren't teaching all of that class. Like, you could have been just like, but that was funny. I appreciated that.
What does she say? She's like, this country was founded by white slave owners who didn't want to pay their taxes.
Yes, basically.
It's like, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Or white male slave owners. Yeah, I just miss the carefreeness, the like, I've done what I had to do, and now I can like sit back, relax, and have fun with my friends for a few days or a few weeks.
Yeah, I guess
that freedom was so, I think we took advantage of it when we had it, but like, I definitely miss it.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Did you, sorry, I don't mean to ask, I don't mean to step on your toes, but, did you identify with like the main character at all? 'Cause I just felt so, other than his kindness towards Mitch, I felt very like disconnected from him.
You know, that's a really good question. And, I feel like I should be.
No, I'm just like wondering now.
I'm neglecting my host duties here. But I have to say, I kind of did identify with him more than, I think I realized I had more in common with him on this viewing than I did in other viewings. And for a couple of reasons. One, you know, the athlete aspect.
Yeah.
Sort of a subplot throughout the movie is that he has to sign this waiver saying he's not going to do drugs or alcohol and, you know, not going to like do anything that would affect the team and the success of the football team. And everyone's sort of pressuring him, except for Matthew McConaughey's character, to like sign it, just do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, for him, it's like the principle, like, I don't want to have to like compromise like what I want to do, which I kind of did respect. Like, as someone that age, I definitely wouldn't have had the like strength, like the moral strength to be like, I'm going to stick to my guns on something like that, because I was too much of a goody two shoes to be like, you know.
Yeah.
But I did quit our field hockey team.
Same.
My senior year, going we into our senior did, yeah. year. So yeah, exactly. So like this idea of like no one quits their senior year, like that would be such a huge mistake. Part of me was like, if you don't want to do it, don't fucking do it. True. And like, I'm proud, if I can say that, for both of us, like, we didn't enjoy it anymore, so we wanted to quit.
Yeah, we and, found like, better things to do with our time, and like yeah. things that were more enjoyable, or like, yeah, it's weird, like field hockey was a big part of like our middle school yeah. and like high school life, but I don't miss the fact that I didn't do it senior year.
Exactly. And I think that's something he gets like guilted into, like, you're gonna miss it if you quit. And like, I didn't miss it at all. I don't, you didn't, like, I think our other friends that quit didn't either. So like, but also this idea that, or I get the sense in the movie that he's sort of like friends with everybody. Mm. I was by no means friends with everybody in our grade, but I felt like I, by senior year, I think especially, felt like I could talk to and maybe hang out either at school or maybe like outside of school here and there with people like outside my immediate friend group.
Yeah.
And so like being able to kind of like click jump between groups of, you know, kids, I definitely couldn't do that with everybody, but like some I felt like as I got older and as I was in, you know, our school system for longer, felt like I could maneuver a little more easily between social groups.
Yeah, I feel like we weren't like stuck with any one group. I feel like we all kind of had like different other circles of friends, and then we had each other, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I guess my thing with him, is it Pink? His name, Pinkford?
They call him Pink because his last name is Floyd, so Pink Floyd.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. So, but there is a Pickford, right?
Yes.
Okay, that definitely got confusing. So, well, anyway, with Pink, I felt like I understood the like pressures and him like not really not knowing what to do. I'm always critical of like a main story point, and I feel like it's like, well, if there wasn't this, then the movie, then it wouldn't be a movie. But like, okay, my thing was me being like cynical and being like just rolling my eyes at some of this. He was like making a big deal about signing the paper, and like the other like kids who were like pressuring him to sign it weren't saying don't do drugs or like don't party with us too, because like they were all doing it too. So I was kind of like,
right,
I mean, this might be morally like not great, but I was kind of like, couldn't you just sign it and then like still party with your other jock friends who are clearly going to keep doing drugs? Like, I don't understand. Or like, I mean, he kind of like says that at the end, like, I might play next year, but like, I'm not signing this ever. And you're like, okay, and you're like, you may as well have signed it and just like done the shit anyway. Like, I don't know why. Like, it just, it was like such a weird like sword to fall on for him. I don't know.
No, I agree. And I was thinking of that too watching. It's like, I think for him, it's, I think the message is meant to be like, as you're coming of age, as you're finding yourself, you start to like realize what you want to stand for.
Yeah.
And I guess for him, it was like, I'm not gonna sign this because it's not who, you know, I want to live my life.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you can't tell me what to do, man. But then it's like,
right
it's just like annoying.
But again, it's like, who at 17, because he's still in high school, maybe he's 18, but like, I again would have never had the courage to be like, I'm not gonna sign that.
No, like, I would have definitely signed it. And like, not that we like did a lot of like drugs or anything in high school, but like if we had like a party on a weekend, I would have just still signed the thing and like gone to the party. Like, I don't, like,
right. No, I completely agree with you on that. I think it's kind of it's a little weak.
Yeah, because I guess like his other friends, yeah, it didn't understand why he didn't want to do it. And he didn't they didn't make it clear that it wasn't about like that he didn't want to play football. It was more about the fact that they were telling him he couldn't do drugs. And then you're like, well, like you're not really supposed to be doing them anyway. So like, just do them in secret anyway, because like you have to. Like it's like it's not gonna be okay even if you don't sign and don't sign up for football. Like you know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. Sorry, switching gears. I love that kid Slater.
The
conspiracy theorist.
Aliens, man.
Yeah.
This country was founded by aliens.
Don't you feel like there's always a Slater in these movies? It's such a popular name. And then I'm like, I've never met a person named Slater.
I haven't either. Not that I can recall.
Right? Like, was it a popular name? It's like so distinct. But I feel like
it is.
Back in those movies, there was always a somebody Slater. And I'm like, where did that name go?
We should bring it back.
We should.
Let's bring Slater back.
Name your child Slater. No,
okay. I mean, I think it's a cool name.
It is cool. It's cool.
I like Slater.
Yeah, you have to be really cool to pull that off.
I also love, I don't think this, I don't know if this line was original or not, but when he says, like, behind every great man is a great woman.
Yeah.
And behind George Washington was Martha Washington. And Martha Washington was a hip lady.
No, I wrote that down. I was like, oh my God, hip lady. That's hip lady, man. That's great.
Hip lady, man. You're a hip lady, man.
Yeah, he was, his just little bursts within the story were fun. I enjoyed like watching him. I'm trying to think of like other things I identified with or like didn't.
Something that was very apparent to me watching this for this episode was the token black guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they didn't even really give him any lines. Not to say that like even if he had lines, just one would have been okay. But like, it's like painfully like here's one.
It was and you're like so obvious. Yeah, because there's no like not that I could see like any women of color or like
none
teenage like yeah. So it was just like and the fact that he doesn't really have a storyline. He's just like part of the group of seniors that's like trying to whack freshmen with paddles. It was just a little like disappointing. Again, this movie is from
It's from the 90s.
It's from the early 90s, so you know I don't know how much or how little they were thinking of that when they were casting, but like it comes off now poorly.
Yeah. That and a lot of the dialogue and just things said in the way of like making fun of people, like you would not use the F word right now to refer to someone, like to refer to anyone, but you basically using gay as a derogatory term, you wouldn't say that now. And then also the way they were like talking about girls and then like how the girls were being forced to act like. The freshman hazing of the women I thought was almost somehow worse because like the guys it was like all right you get your ass beat and then we'll like take you in and it's fine but then like the girls they're like okay propose to this person and like tell them you'll do whatever they want and I'm like that is fucking messed up like
well that and then before that it's like you have to wear a pacifier in your mouth you have to basically do burpees until we tell you not to. We're then gonna spray you with ketchup, mustard,
and like oats.
Oatmeal. Yeah, it was like some gross combination. We're then gonna make you fry like bacon, like do like some weird like Pilates aerobic shit on the gravel, and then after you propose to a senior guy, we're gonna run you through a car wash.
Yeah, which is like, wouldn't that fucking that's so dangerous.
It's really like, again, in the context of the movie, it's all framed as like, haha, this is like hazing back in the 70s. But it's like, with the lenses we have now, it's like, this is so fucked up.
I know, you're like, what is wrong with these people?
Right. But that's kind of why, like, I think Parker Posey just, like, takes it up a notch, but in a way that, like, it's so ridiculous it is funny, because you're just like, oh my god, she's such a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of brings, like, it into, like, the comical territory, exactly. Whereas, like, part of it, you're like, oh, like, these people are, like, serious, like, I don't know.
But there were moments where some of the senior girls are like, I'm going to level with you all, like, just suck it up and deal with it. Like, this is what I had to do when I was your age. Yeah. And then you can do it when you're a senior. And I was like, that brought me back to field hockey, to a time when we were freshmen.
And yeah. They were like, you guys have to clean up the field after practice. It's like, yep.
Exactly. Freshmen get all the balls now.
Yeah.
From the field.
Oh my god.
Or like, you have to sit in, like, a certain part of the bus. You have to, like, double up.
Yeah.
Just, like, shit like that where it's, like, you know that you just got to get through this thing. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you can then call the shots when you're that age.
Yeah. I mean, those things didn't seem as bad to me as – or, like, those things was, like, oh, it sucks. But, like, okay.
Right.
Such a different, like, mentality that clearly, like – it must have, like, shaped a generation. Like, these people are – they all needed, like, severe therapy probably as adults. Like, yes. It's crazy.
I mean, maybe this is a hot take, but I kind of get the impression that it's, like, people who put up with that, and I understand, like, there just wasn't the social acceptance around, like, saying no, right. Or, like, you know, like, trying to, like, promote the fact that, like, this is wrong and, like, could fuck you up emotionally. I understand, like, that just wasn't acceptable back then. But I feel like because people just took it, however,
mm-hmm.
Like whatever was being forced of them, it has sort of created this, you've got to suck it up. You've got to toughen it up,
yeah.
And like deal with it, which I feel like can very quickly ease into like a problematic space of like, no, you shouldn't have to deal with that or take that or experience that at all. Like that's not okay mm-hmm. for anyone to. And, like, not to get too far off topic, but I feel like that kind of is what's happening with Simone Biles. Like,
mm-hmm.
some chiming in saying, like, oh, well, you're an Olympic athlete. Like, you need to, like, this is part of your challenge is, like, dealing with the pressure and, like, sucking it up and just taking it on. And I don't agree with that at all. I think, like, too often we were ready to just be like, yeah, I got to, like, suck this up and deal with it. And it's like, no, actually, if you can admit to yourself that you're not in the right headspace, that you actually can't handle this thing, or like, I don't want to have to put myself through this thing because it's going to hurt me somehow, then like, good for you for being able to recognize that and not put yourself through
it. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that our generation seems to kind of be like, kind of raising the flag on other generations. And obviously Gen Z has come up now and it's like, oh my God, these kids are like going to even change it more. But like, you know, we're kind of like, hey, that's like not okay. And like,
Right. Actually
like we shouldn't have to deal with that. So like, yeah, the Simone Biles example is like a perfect example. Cause like, it makes you really think like, okay, like, I mean, she didn't really say this in her interviews, but like extrapolating a little bit, like, okay, is this really about me not competing? Or is this about like you like feeling like I should compete and like win a fucking medal for you? Like, but this medal is for me. So like the only person that it's hurting is me. Like if I choose to not compete right. or not, like it shouldn't even matter to you. Like I get that like the Olympics are, you know, a national thing and or international thing, and like when you go to compete for a country, it's like, okay, like yes, but I just feel like people take it like way too personally. And like any athlete, even if it's like athletes at the Super Bowl or like World Series or US Opens or whatever it is, like they should be able to like do it on their terms, not like, I don't know, it's just like crazy to me that that people are like up in arms about it. I'm like, this isn't for you. Like she's putting the work in. Like, let's see you do it. If you want this medal so bad, go fucking do what she did. Like try.
Yeah. Right.
It's insane.
I couldn't agree more.
Sorry. I feel very strongly about the US women's gymnastics team.
you used to do gymnastics.
I did.
Right?
Yeah. So I have like a whole like separate like place in my heart for the just like gymnasts who compete at any level.
Yeah, they are so impressive, all of them.
Yeah.
Like, hats off, round of standing ovation, round of applause.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess bringing it back to the movie.
Wait, we're talking about a movie. Yeah. That's right. Oh,
yeah.
I have like two more quick things. Yeah. And that's pretty much it for me. I sort of mentioned this back in the beginning, but the fashion, some of the fashion in this film, I'm like, definitely could see somebody wearing that today. Like the flare jeans, I think, are making the high waist.
A lot of the girls' outfits, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Here for it.
Yeah.
A lot of the boys' outfits were interesting. Very loose and like just very loose, which was very flowy, very like paisley. A lot of the guys had longer hair. Wasn't mad at it. I liked the longer hair. Yeah. It's so weird because I feel like that generation, I guess, is like our parents' generation. So like they would see someone who's like relatively androgynous looking now and be like, oh, like what? But I'm like, you guys had like the longest feminine hair in the 70s. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so interesting.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Not mad at the long hair, though. Guys with, if they have nice hair, should grow it long. And I'm not mad at it.
Oh, yeah. I thought
Mitch had very nice hair.
I did too.
It was very like shiny, well kept, like straight, like very like flowy. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of I would say more of the male side of this film, like casting wise, almost all of these actors are not 16, 17. They're like 24, 25.
No. Yeah.
Like they're like a solid 10 years older.
They look so old.
Yeah.
And like they did a good job of making Matthew McConaughey seem older than all of them.
Right.
Maybe just because he looked distinct anyway. But the senior, or I guess they were trying to even like widen that like age gap. So you knew, regardless of what they said, like you knew on camera who was the seniors and who were the freshmen, which was kind of funny. Right. They did that well, I thought.
Well, I did too. I have to say, though, again, like, I think it's more funny just because, again, I know how, like, ridiculous and, like, he's playing a character. But the idea of someone like Matthew McConaughey's character is, like, straight up creepy.
Yeah, like, and, why are you hanging out with all these high school kids? And, like,
right.
Like, don't you have anyone your age in the city? Or, like, I don't know.
When one of the characters even says that to Cynthia, they're like, why are you, he's creepy. They're like, that's gross. Or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So, like, I appreciate that they, like, acknowledge that, like, this is not acceptable in a way. Yeah. But, like, still poking fun at it and still sort of making it funny. But, yeah, just, like, again, with what we sort of, has what is right now culturally acceptable that is so not.
Yeah, it's like a little weird because when you get older, it's like age like kind of doesn't matter, but then you're like, it is just weird. It's like you have nothing else to do on the weekend except hang out with high school kids. That's weird.
Yeah,
like that is weird.
Well, and like clearly trying to chase like teenage girls is like, I think, problematic.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if he's like 1 year or like 2 years older, but still, like, I don't know. Like, go find people like that aren't like still in high school. I don't know. It's just like weird.
Yeah. But at the end of the movie, basically, at one point when they're on the football field, he's like, L-I-V-I-N, living.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
He started a foundation called Just Keep Living.
He did in real life? Or,
Keep Living. I think so, yeah. And I think...
Why don't I know
going
that?
Back to beginning of our conversation, I'm pretty sure he said that quote when he got his Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, probably. I feel like he probably just, like, keeps, like, quoting his old...
he just goes through his repertoire.
Yeah, he just keeps quoting himself, which is, like, such a him move.
Oh, I had one other question, yeah. But we don't really have to get into it. Soundtrack. I have to say, a lot of the songs in this movie are not songs or sections of rock that I seek out on my own, but I thought they did a good job of like fitting it into the movie at certain points. And it almost just feels like you're constantly listening to rock music of that era throughout the entire movie.
It kind of just sounds like you're like on a drive listening to rock radio. Yeah. I liked it. I tend to like rock and classic rock. I think I said in the Dirty Dancing episode, I've been on kind of just an 80s kick lately. So just like anything 80s or like that sounds even like kind of dancey, disco-y, I'm here for it. So I was actually surprised. I was like, oh yeah, like this is like a good soundtrack. And each song I feel like meant something for like certain moments. Like obviously like School's Out for Summer, like they played it when they're all leaving school. And like, oh man. Oh, like with the Kiss statues, they like then played a Kiss song. Like, I just felt like they were like a little on the nose, but it worked. It worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Some really good needle drops. I did like some of the songs for sure, but I just, not all of them I'm a huge fan of. But I thought, again, they did a good job of like implementing the songs into the movie. It's like the soundtrack is its own character.
Yes. It adds a whole other layer. I don't even know what voice we were doing, but yeah, it adds a whole lot of layer.
Like, New York City is like a fifth character in this story. Or like,
Sex in the City.
Yeah. Austin, Texas is like the 37th character in this movie.
Yes. Oh my God.
Any last thoughts, opinions? Comments about the movie?
Definitely just worth a watch at least one time. I always say that unless I like have a visceral like hate it reaction, I would say, but
which
I didn't,
neither of us have had yet.
No, I would say again, I thought it was all right. But yeah, I don't know if I would pick it again, but maybe if I'm in a group or if something like that, like it would be more fun to like watch it and like kind of comment on it as it's happening. I feel like that would be funny. But overall, like, okay, but definitely like for, I guess, just cinema buffs, like worth a watch for that. Worth a watch if you like Matthew McConaughey and like kind of want to see one of his iconic roles, I would say. I mean, people definitely know him from this. But yeah, I'm just going to be repeating myself. Worth a watch at least once.
I agree with that. I really like this movie a lot. So I would say if you like it a lot too, keep watching it. Cause it is just sort of fun. Like you notice things, I think, every time you watch it, you kind of pick up on this and that, and like this little line or this little soundbite or this little like visual thing.
Yeah.
They kind of make the movie feel a little bit more put together or more special. Well, I think that wraps up our conversation on Dazed and Confused. That's it for our summer series.
I know. This is so crazy. Like, this just flew.
We really did spread it out.
We did spread it out, but it also flew by. It's crazy. Yeah. I feel like the summer's just flown by so fast.
It really has.
Like, what a time. So, yeah, this has been, like, so fun this summer. I'm glad we like kept the episode shorter and like we did some like fun movies that I feel like we wouldn't have done otherwise unless we were doing a summer series. So I felt like that was really fun to do. I kind of liked, you know, a theme. I mean, who doesn't love a theme?
Yeah.
So we just let you guys know we will be taking another break. Kind of discussing where we move on from here, what that looks like, how soon that will be, and like, yeah, just what is going to work with our schedules going forward. So we like will let you know when we know. We have not yet discussed it, but you'll know when we know. So TBD on, you know, season 3. And yeah, as always, this has been so much fun. But yeah, we're going to take a little bit of a break and enjoy like the remaining month of summer.
Yeah.
We're going to be posting this on August 10th, but we're recording on like the 1st. So truly is like one more month of summer that we get to kind of now enjoy. Any like fun plans for the remaining summer days, Av?
Well, yes, I'm going to be in Vermont this coming weekend, which I'm like really excited for. Vermont is beautiful. Yeah. And I've like really come to appreciate that.
It's beautiful any time of year, honestly.
It really is. Great destination. I'm like, Vermont is, it's a great place. So going to be there with some friends. I'm looking forward to that. And then my sister's birthday, she's turning 30.
Oh,
so
big one. Big Yay! Deal.
Yeah. So we're having a big, big-ish celebration with some family.
Oh, that'll be nice.
That, yeah, on the day we post this. So her birthday will be the 10th.
Yay.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to move again. So going to have to start packing up my stuff once again for that at the end of the month. But that's really it. How about you?
Yeah, well, next week I will be, David and I are going to be at down the Jersey Shore with my family. Yeah, DTS. Literally, we're going to be like by Seaside and Point Pleasant. So we're going to go to Jenks.
Are you going to go to Clutch?
Oh, I don't.
Go to Clutch.
I don't know, but I'm definitely going to go to Jenks, and we're definitely going to like take like oyster shots that they have there, which is like amazing that they have that. Like, I love New Jersey so much. So I mean, they may have had that other places, but on Jenkinson's Boardwalk, it's great. So we'll be down the Jersey Shore all next week, and I'm just looking forward to it. My family goes every year down the shore, and it just like is my like yearly trek. I feel like I just have to go to like reset, like
pilgrimage to the shore.
It's like my happy place, and I need to like go there to reset. Like, that's almost my New Year's. That's how I like think of my year, summer to summer. Also, because I'm a summer birthday, summer baby, but I kind of like reset in the summer, and so I'm looking forward to that. But also, my whole extended family will be down there on my mom's side, and I'm just ready to like have a good time and like party with my cousins. So that is also what we will be doing.
What's the Springsteen quote? If you're at the shore, everything's all right.
Probably
or something like that.
That's apt. Also, it's Bruce, so you know, Asbury Park.
Right.
Yeah. So
that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I think as much as we love this, we both need a break. You know, there's still time to enjoy things in the nice warm weather, and we will be back in some shape or form with new movies to talk about.
Yes, hopefully new guests. Probably, there are definitely guests like lining up, so we definitely should have more guests on. That'd be really fun.
Yes. So yeah, we'll take a little break, come back, and be better than ever.
Yeah. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at seenthatpod. That's at SCENETHATPOD. So at seenthatpod, all one word. You can keep listening to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. And please follow us on those platforms as well, so you get notified every time there's a new Seen That episode. Remember, we're still all in this together. I'm going to say stay safe again, because, you know, things are kind of still happening, I guess, with this Delta variant. Everyone just like be on their toes. Keep washing your hands. Keep your masks nearby. Keep wearing them indoors.
Get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated if you have not. Please. You know, put on sunscreen this summer. We love you. I don't know. Sunburn sucks. So just stay safe. Stay well, everyone.
And stay hydrated.
Oh, please stay hydrated. Yes. We love you. And I love Avril.
I love you all. I love you so much, Haley. I miss you already. And again, until next time, we'll be back, everybody. Yeah.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.